Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, December 4th, and this is the Leon County Research and Development Authority Board meeting. Guests, I don't see any. No guests. Nobody participating by electronic.
Oh, we're good.
Oh, we're good. Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. One.
Do we have a motion to second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Michael, any modifications to the agenda?
I don't believe so, do we?
Just the additional.
I've got one additional item that I passed out. Everybody's got in front of them that we'll talk through before the end of the meeting.
Perfect. And I assume we had no public comment?
We did not.
All right. Can I get a motion for the move?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. 12 minutes to that, which is good. Has everybody had a chance to look at the consent?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move for consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
David, you're on.
Good morning. Let's first take a peep at the income statement. Can you hear me all right?
Perfect.
Good. We're looking at October. November numbers aren't yet published, but in October, we had some $36,000 of revenue. However, operating expenses were some $77,000. So, again, operating in the red there. We add to that the non-operating expenses of depreciation, amortization, and accrued interest, another $61,000 of expenses. We ended up operating at a $102,000 loss for the month of October. Now let's go over and look at the balance sheet. The most concerning piece of that is the cash, and we are down to $28,000 in cash. We do have some $24,000 in receivables. The nice thing is our investment portfolio continues to be reasonably good at $1,056,000. We give a report in a moment about cash forecasts and availability of cash. Staff has worked diligently to give us some forward projections on that. If there are no further questions on the revenue and the balance sheet, I'll now turn it over to staff to give us that report on cash expectations for the remainder of the periods.
Sure. Thanks, David. Just to back up briefly, just to give everybody, I know we didn't talk about September financials, but I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a summary of where we ended up our fiscal year. The RDA was $85,000 under expenses for the year, came out ahead, and the lab was $240,000, obviously over, because we kept it 9 months longer than originally planned. We also came at about $120,000 better in cash to end September 30th than we thought we would with our original projections. In October, the lab was $1,000 over and expenses were about $1,500 under. So we came out a little bit ahead of plan for the month of October at the lab. At the RDA level, we were $12,000 ahead on revenue and $21,000 below on expenses. So we were $33,000 ahead for the month of October. Most of that is because we had budgeted the repairs to the pond, the debris project inside the pond to be spent in October. And we actually paid that bill in September. So we're still ahead of cash. As David mentioned, one of the couple of things I was going to share with everybody, and you have an attachment at the very bottom that provide a little bit of details. The cash on hand at the end of November was $1,012,000. When I say cash on hand, I mean what's in our operating account, which we keep very low, $25,000, $50,000, in our investment account, and net of outstanding obligations of checks that are written, of the money we owe FSU, whatever. That's kind of a net number. So we're at $1.012 million. At the end of December, I expect to be at $910,000. At the end of May, and I think these are important dates to discuss with everybody, where I expect to be under two different scenarios I'm sharing here. If the lab is transferred by the end of January, we will be at about $690,000 on May 31st. If it is not transferred, we will be at $500,000. The difference, of course, being four or five additional months of the lab ownership and operation. Those are numbers I'm going to keep everybody focused on in terms of that's where our cash is. And when we start to get into a real cash crunch, it's June, if you will, because we have that looming payment to Florida State. That was all I was going to add. If anybody got, we do owe the parks FSU $52,000. As you guys know, the Park Service continues to pay us. That never missed a beat during the shutdown. or anything. This is like clockwork historically.
So that's just a pass through.
Yeah, we haven't paid. We haven't paid them yet, but yes, okay. We owe FSU $52,000.
FSU paying you
so far.
Even though you told.
Oh, many. Yeah. They have agreements to the effect, and then Florida State has an agreement with them to be paid, but still hasn't worked out that way.
All righty. Any questions for David or Michael on the treasurer's report?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the treasurer's report.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, Michael, you're
A couple of quick updates that you guys know. We started with $1.5 million in our FF&E budget and our appropriation that we got from the state through TCC. We have $148,000 left. And what I mean by that is really, that's not, we haven't spent all of that, but it's some of it's been committed for. We've never written checks for things, but 148 grand left, which does include $17,000 of interest because we did put the money in an interest bearing account. Currently we have $150,000 pending to be spent. It's committed. We just haven't gotten the bills or the equipment hasn't shown up. So we're working our way through that. We've got a project that's about another $75,000 project that FSU is scoping out right now to convert this big room over here that was one of the, on the first floor. We're going to add some fume hood to that to create another chem lab space with exhaust.
Oh, good.
So that'll chew up about $80,000. Again, the timing is not only quoting it, is that getting the work done and then of course paying for it. We've got Piercica, if you guys recall, been a longtime member with us, even in the old building. They have continued to take more space. So they're up to 6,200 in rent. You'll see signs if you walk around the building. We've got about a dozen affiliate members that are now kind of virtual members using the lab space, getting access to the programmatics. We've got one paying member doing that as a virtual member. And then we've got a couple potential folks looking at $1,000 to $1,500 spaces that were very close, getting them rolling, hopefully right after the first of the year. They've been through the vetting process. And that's really the update on the lab. Any questions?
I'm going to keep moving on.
Okay, yep. This is just kind of our general update. The out parcel has been transferred effective, was it last week or the week before? It may have been last Monday before Thanksgiving.
I think so.
That's done. The lab and build to scale transfer. Continue to have discussions with EDA. We'll actually have a representative here next Wednesday. Valerie and I will get to spend time with him and his boss. I have warned them to tell his boss that this guy in Tallahassee is a super big pest, so let's get a little movement before then. Also working on the build to scale. We've had some back and forth this week with those folks. They keep committing to me that it could be 30 to 60 days. I am dramatically skeptical, but that is what they're representing. Ponds and roads. Those should transfer any day, I would say. We're waiting on a document from the DEP to move that transfer. There was a little hiccup and it could have been done 2 weeks ago, but it turns out in 2013-14, Lot 3F, which is where the IT building sits over here, the documentation between us, DEP, FSU, is a little bit more ambiguous than it should be. And so we are clarifying best documents on that transfer that we all believed 12 years ago. So that is being carved out of the exercise. We discovered that on the Ponds and Roads exercise as Kevin and I got different documents and we were comparing them and it didn't match up.
Yeah, it's a minor detail. Okay. It just needs to be administratively cleaned up.
Yep. And it has certain advantages actually to what we're trying to do because of all the declarant rights. We may have, remember, if you guys recall, the plan was to do the Ponds and Roads last. But because of the slowdown on the lab exercise, we kind of jumped and put Ponds and Roads in front. And that Lot 3F may be the place where we end up with all the declarant rights and all those things that are attached to the last parcel, which we were going to do with the lab. This will make it a little bit cleaner, actually.
Yeah, that's good. I'll jump in with one more thought on this. Effectively, what happened 10 or 12 or 13 years ago was between the RDA and FSU, the real estate was transferred. But what didn't happen was between the RDA and DEP, they didn't deal with the underlying lease. And so there's a lease that needs to be, that piece 3F needs to be terminated out of the 3131 lease. It's administrative.
Yep.
So we'll clean that up.
But it needs to be mopped up. Yes. Right.
And it's just legal. Is it surveying and that kind of stuff?
No, I don't believe any of that.
Just okay. Signatures okay. On a document.
It's just part paperwork.
Yeah. We're still looking before the end of the year.
On that. Well, not on 3F necessarily, but Ponds and Roads, yes.
Okay.
It'll be 3F still kind of be hanging out there. We're going to get Ponds and Roads done and 3F's hanging out there.
Michael,
but it's not taking long.
What he said, there may be some incremental benefits to us. We're actually going to hold that a little bit longer for, again, administrative reasons, but it's
that may just be the cleanup parcel that wraps everything up as we transfer and close out the 207.86 acres. Is that parcel maybe that we were going to do that with Ponds and Roads, then we shifted, we were going to do it with the lab, got the Ponds and Roads beeping done. Obviously, the lab will get in front of that, and then we'll have that one parcel that, again, is operated by FSU. We have no cost in that. It's just going to be our mop-up exercise there in that little piece. So, again, we would have gotten there any other way otherwise, but it's just as easy. We have not transferred or done anything, as I mentioned briefly, with the Declarant Rights, CAM, Development Review Committee. All those things will go probably with 3F as we're talking about.
That's what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. FEMA, we have got one project. They owe us $39,000. Everybody agrees at FEMA, at the state level. Of course, they haven't written us that check, so they owe us $39,000 for the park work we did on the trail. We've done the pond work. That is moving through the FEMA process, waiting for state-level approvals to hopefully get obligated. We spent $15,000. We'll get about $10,000 back on the reimbursement. So we're still navigating FEMA, and I am trying to figure out, and I have a question in front of their legal folks right now about how we will transfer the responsibility slash benefit slash obligation to chase any FEMA dollars on Collins, Johnson, and Morgan to the appropriate institutions that I've shared with FAMU and FSU, that the RDA will not maintain its existence solely for the purpose of working the FEMA claims. So that seemed to be something somewhat unique to the FEMA folks. I cannot believe it's a unique situation where a property owner is no longer in the picture. Could have been a default in a bank. Everybody's got the rights to chase their harm to the extent it exists. And these are validly filed FEMA claims for a valid disaster. So, but that's what FEMA's legal right now on those two. Eisenhower property, not much going on in terms of actual action. I have had a conversation with Brad Hastings in the development office at Florida State. One of the things that I shared with him is that our board has considered of either donating that property to be sold and then used for certain purposes, one of which the board had an appetite for was benefiting the lab and the parks initiatives and mission. And so he was reviewing our bylaws and our charter to make sure that's something that he understood, as opposed to just my representation of our charter and mission, as well as if that's something FSU could do, the development office could do. I also represented that I think our board had the appetite not for this to be an endowed kind of thing where it spent 4% a year. We wanted to really see it accelerated over, and I'm going to make up this date, I suggest a 10-year period, that we wanted the funds to be put to work for the benefit of research and development and economic development in the park. We would have no part in that other short of a donation, but that would put it in place to benefit commercial development property IP yet from FAMU, from FSU, or frankly from others, again, to accelerate economic development in our community. And he said I had a conversation with him. He said they could do it. It may be better off being done through the Research Foundation, but he doesn't foresee any problems with that kind of wishes for the use of those funds that are RDA funds that I think we all agree should be used to further the mission of the organization rather than just going to some general operating place. Now, that's what I shared with him. If that is in any way inconsistent with what we discussed at our last meeting, somebody needs to say that, because that is how I've represented that to Brad. We haven't done anything or taken any action. It's just been phone calls, but that's what I represented.
Well, I know we spent a lot of time, since I've been on the LCRDA, talking about this topic, but I think this is
my favorite thing to talk about.
I know that it is. I could see it in your face. But I think this is the right approach. It's taken a long time for us to get here, and I think that discussion has been necessary. But I'm very happy with the direction that it's going. I know it's not anything firm or final yet, but this is something.
Well, it takes us out of the conversation of putting up a sale sign, trying to have a closing, get hung up with, can't do something now because we're trying to close on it. This becomes a much easier process to divest of that asset. And make sure it goes to the right place.
Not only, I think, is it the best use of the money, but it's also very defensible for us as board members of the LCRDA. It's our mission. It's aligned with the mission. I think it's exactly the right thing we need to be doing.
Okay, well, then I will continue to pursue it unless somebody says otherwise. So I agree.
And then one of the things that I want us to be mindful of, and Shantae, I want to make sure that Jessica, on behalf of FAMU and Florida State, as a gift is given, if it is intended to wholly benefit the labs, typically when a gift of real estate or cash gifts or otherwise assets are given to a foundation, usually the donor is expecting some type of a gift credit and a tax, but that's That's not where we're at. So making sure that we're all in agreement on how funds, if a real estate asset is donated and it's to be divested by the foundation and the foundation is going to invest in the labs, I want to make sure that everybody is clear on what that is, and the path to get there is agreeable to everybody, whether or not it needs to go to a single foundation or somehow be split among foundations. I'm raising my hand to make sure that between two universities that we're paying attention to that.
In other words, you're saying that can be worked out in the future if we get to that point.
Yes, okay. But I want to be very mindful of the fact that we're not gifting to one of the universities over the other for the benefit of one of the universities. What we're looking for a vehicle ultimately to get the funds to support what's happening in this building.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And to support it and to accelerate it.
Tonight.
audit is progressing as it should. We expect to obviously hit our 3/31 statutory deadline. So they're doing their process right now, which again, will have the blended component unit is the way they're referring to IPTLH inside of our audit. The last thing that I was going to cover
real quick. When will we expect that? You told me I didn't hear.
March 31st. I mean, they'll beat the deadline, but it won't be February. You know, it's not going to be February 1st. They never beat it by much, but they do. We have come in. This place has not had a problem. We did get a reduction in our fees here on the audit. You know, I think it went from 29 to 18 or something like that.
Yeah, it's because of the chairman.
Huh?
It's because of the chairman.
Probably. I didn't know if you'd wanted me to share that you were critical to that exercise. But the last thing is you've got that last document in front of you that is really boring looking because Peggy didn't have anything to do with it. I produced it. It just talks, just to give everybody a visual of the required tasks that we are still working through. To, again, the term I've been using, you know, is to try to glide this thing for a best landing so nobody's got a bunch of work to do whenever we get to make it some critical decisions in the future. And so just wanted everybody to see the list, the expected timing on some of those things. If you look at the very bottom, the projected cash available ties out to what I shared earlier. But there are a number of things still to be dealt with that we have to mop up in a certain sequence just so that there's less cleanup for somebody else. I do not predict a scenario where zero cleanup, but I do want to minimize the cleanup for whether that's the county or whoever it is, FSU, anybody who will be handling any of these matters sometime down the road. And you'll notice I have a date on there that, again, I made up. April 30th, 2026 is when the board should be really deciding on some future plans for both the RDA and the IPTLH. And I think it's important to remember that the IPTLH is effectively governed by the LCRDA. That's where the FF&E lies. And so we have to address those two things at the same time.
Okay, so to this point, operationally, the first 8 or 10 items on here, they have to happen. Those are the operational responsibilities of the LCRDA. We've got to do that. There's somewhat of an order of operation that needs to be followed. All of that needs to be well buttoned up before we can make decisions on that last point. So we've had this conversation several times. There's a reason why we haven't made decisions about the future of the RDA. We've got a lot of things that we're fiduciary responsible for. Yes.
Just what is the status update on the EDA grant transfer?
As I mentioned earlier, I'm in conversation with those guys. He'll be here next week. They keep thinking telling me it's going to be within 30 days. I do not believe that it can move that quickly. That was all through the shutdown, of course. And we're moving as fast as we can. They asked us for some more information this week, which we shared, which we also shared earlier. So we are navigating that as best we can to push that. We do have, as mentioned, the drop dead becomes in the June period because we have a big payment due. And that way, let's say we're in a circumstance we could make that payment. Then we're in default. FSU can just take it. That process exists. You confirm that with legal counsel that they are a second mortgage. They get to step in. And so the EDA they'll have to agree to accept the EDA's terms. But all of a sudden, FSU is driving the timetable as opposed to the EDA.
Have we engaged any of the congressional delegation? I know Senator Moody's office was represented in here. We had a little conversation.
We have not. We have not. We have talked to FSU's lobbying folks about it, and they wanted to be the lead on anything that goes through to push this with the EDA. There's no benefit or magic to this happening with the EDA, frankly, in January versus May.
Well, that's new. I've never heard that before.
Well, I'm saying that now. It's
so there's no pressure then to come
well,
in.
Well, I don't know. Again, I thought this would happen a year ago, John. So, yeah, May gets right around the corner. But yes, the ideal date, frankly, in my opinion, would be April, May. January is no benefit other than it's done, which would be nice to have it off the list, frankly. But there is no special magic of this being done tomorrow versus May in the scheme of all the other tasks we've got to do. And that's part of the reason we laid this out.
And Michael, you and I talked about this a couple months ago after the last LCRDA meeting, and we talked about reaching out to Congressman Dunn and some of those folks. And you and I specifically had that conversation about how FSU wanted to be the driver on this, correct?
Correct.
So that's where we left it at that point.
And I shared that with the folks, John, the person that you introduced me to from Moody's office, actually, because he had offered help. And the county had offered to help, but the reality is FSU wants to be the lead. And they're the receiving party.
I met with I talked with our county folks, our liaison people on this specific topic. And they, you know, in the end, we decided based on FSU's.
And remember, the other thing we're working on simultaneously is the Build to Scale grant, which is worth about $725,000. And the idea of accelerating this fast and pushing enough buttons and leverage to compromise that. I think that's where FSU is largely coming. Valerie can comment on that. Is they're trying everything we can do to preserve the access to those Build to Scale funds. It may not work, but a couple of months doesn't change much materially for us. If it gives us a better shot at the Build to Scale, it may not work, may not get it. They may not give it to us. They may not approve the transfer. I'm emailing with those guys back and forth, you know, on that transfer, that part of the exercise as well.
And Michael is doing a great job in both following up with the Build to Scale and the other folks, as well as like we're working closely with the sponsored programs office to make sure that the way we're responding is consistent with the way these grants need a response that, you know, grant people have a certain grant speak that we're trying to be very specific and answer their questions. So it's really been a collaborative effort, and Michael's done a great job in follow up. And just even where they've misplaced previous responses, he's been really good about putting that back to top of mind and following up. So it's been, you know, we're all cautiously optimistic, but that 700 and something thousand is a critical piece to keep this thing running. That's quite a few salaries that would help us get to the next level. And, you know, getting the kind of companies we want in the building isn't flipping a switch. You have to get a few, you have to build momentum, you have to have the resources they want, and then we'll start to see it. It's a bit of an asymptotic curve. So having this runway and having that support where we're trying to get in the right kind of companies, I think is going to be critical, you know, to getting this to where we actually want it to be. Like we were just talking about that, we don't want to fill it with a bunch of companies that are just real estate play. Right now, the companies that are in here, that average wage is like $88,000. They're like, you know, early career people. They're exactly what the chamber and everybody else wants. Those are the companies we want them moving new technologies forward. We don't just want this to be stores and testing labs and things that don't meet the mission. So that run, that's a lot of money that we don't want to jeopardize.
Yeah, well said. Any other questions?
New business?
I thought you would have some new business. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You got something?
No.